Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Lori Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the amazing...
Wow, is it someone else, Lori?
No, it's you.
Bernie Siegel here from Coin from Greenwich Village.
All right. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We're at Coach Chat, we figured that if you can change your perspective, you can change your life. And we developed this radio show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest growing professions in the world today. Coach Chat hooks you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And boy, do we have a winner today, Carrie Abner. Welcome, Carrie.
Thanks so much, Lori and Bernie, for having me. It's a real pleasure and privilege to be here today.
Great.
We're thrilled to have you. Let me tell you a lot about Carrie, and this is only half the story. Carrie Abner is Director for Credentialing and Accreditation at the International Coach Federation, which we call ICF Global, where she manages a team dedicated for supporting, strengthening, and growing the professional certification of coach practitioners and the accreditation of coach training programs across the globe. That's a big job. Previously, she served as Assistant Director for Communications at the Council of State Governments, where she worked with state legislatures, Supreme Court justices, and executive branch leaders to foster collaboration and sharing of best practices across the states. Her past experience includes serving as the editor of Capital Ideals, a national magazine on state government policy and practice, and management of the United States Justice Department grant projects on sexual assault and intimate partner violence. And she's also worked to ensure the protection of refugee women and children in humanitarian crisis. She holds a master's degree in international affairs from the George Washington University of Washington, D.C. I think we've got enough info right there for four or five shows. But
wow.
I'll start, Bernie.
Carrie, so welcome to the show. Okay, way back when I graduated from the coaching school, IPEC, and Lori did also, it was kind of confusing. We were told the school would certify us, we'd get a credential from the ICF, and the school was accredited by the ICF. It was really confusing. So I just thought, going right to the source so we could all be on the same page, if you could just describe a little bit what the differences between a student getting a credential from the ICF and the school getting accredited, because I see that you're director of both of those.
Sure. That's a great question, Bernie, and an important one. So what the ICF offers to individual coach practitioners is what we call a credential, and we offer three different credentials. The Associate Certified Coach Credential, the Professional Certified Coach Credential, and the Master Certified Coach Credential. And each of those credentials have their own unique sets of requirements. So that includes training, it includes client coaching experience, it includes mentor coaching, and of course it also includes assessment. Both it can be the what we call the coach knowledge assessment, as well as some sort of performance evaluation or an evaluation of a coach's skills. And there are different criteria for each of those three credentialing levels. We also, for coach training programs, so organizations that provide education and training to individuals who want to become a coach, we also accredit those programs as well. And that's so it's not an individual accreditation, it is an organizational accreditation or a training accreditation. And what we do there is we look at a coach training's curriculum. We look at operational standards, so the credentials, the experience, and the certification of the faculty members of that particular coach training program, the way a coach training program is structured, so how they deliver the coach training to make sure it aligns with high standards for training delivery, all of those factors, and of course, and most importantly, we look to make sure that a coach training program's curriculum is aligned with the ICF definition of coaching, the code of ethics, and the ICF core competencies for coaching. We want to make sure that what we are accrediting is training that really provides high-quality education in coaching as we kind of understand it, right? And what there are lots of different definitions of coaching that float around, and we want to be sure that training programs that have the ICF accreditation can signify that they are truly all about coaching as this partnership between a coach and a client in a creative process to help the client promote their own and fulfill their own potential. So those are the two types of programs that we offer here within the ICF Credentialing and Accreditation Department. And you ask an important question, too. Sometimes there's confusion once an individual goes through a coach training program and they receive that really highly valued certificate at the end that says you have completed all aspects and components of this coach training program. You've completed, you know, the assignments, and you've also, most importantly, completed this final test, if there's a final test at the end of it, that sort of thing. That is a really important achievement, and that certificate stands for a huge achievement on the part of that coach student. What the credentialing process at ICF provides, however, is another layer, another step above that, because we are an independent body, and we also provide our credentialing program that has requirements above and beyond just training. So we do incorporate training because that's an important element in our credentialing process, but we also require that experience, we require that mentor coaching, and then we require the assessment by an independent voluntary body that is the ICF. And so it's all of these elements together that that provide the standard for the ICF credentials, which is separate and important, as well as the certificate that an individual student receives at the end of his or her training.
Wow, so that was really, really clear and appreciated, and I'm glad that you're on the call to help us with that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I'm sure that many people have asked that question, and will continue, because it does tend to get confusing. And you guys have done so much work on that. Bernie and I are from the time when you told people you were going to be a coach, they go, really, what sport? You know,
right.
So we know,
right.
Coaching has grown. How does the ICF credential fit into the world, the business world? It's like, how recognized is it? How important is it? Well, how does it fit in? Because it really wasn't around when we started.
Right. You know, that's a great question, and it's a fascinating thing to look at, just how much the ICF credential has evolved and changed, and in terms of its recognition, just in the past 20 years. You know, we credentialed our first professional coach through the ICF credentialing process in 1998. And in fact, that year we credentialed 34. And so we now have just under 28,000 credential holders at one of those, you know, three levels of credentialing, the ACC, PCC, or MCC, across the globe. And that's just really tremendous. And a lot of that growth is reflective of the recognition of the ICF credential as a really high global standard. And we are the largest and only globally recognized credentialing body for professional coaches. So someone who has an ICF credential, it's recognized here in the States, but it's also recognized, you know, in France. It's recognized in Thailand. It's recognized in Kenya. It's recognized throughout the world. And that's really, really important, and something that we're really proud of. And I do think that it's a reflection of the reputation of the ICF credential as something that is incredibly robust and rigorous, and that shows, demonstrates that a coach who holds a credential really has not only the general knowledge of what coaching is, but it has demonstrated a commitment to high ethical practice, and has been able to demonstrate their skill in coaching as well. So how to apply that knowledge within the coaching context. And, you know, you mentioned specifically organizations and businesses, and that's something that we are seeing more and more of, is that businesses, whether, again, they're here domestically or they're overseas, are increasingly looking at the ICF credential as the standard bearer for what a coach should have if they're going to operate within their system, and if they're going to coach within their organization. So we are seeing more and more businesses as well as government offices who are requiring a credential, and an ICF credential in particular, for a coach who wants to work internally within that organization, agency, or business. And that's just really tremendous. I think it goes back to what the ICF credential stands for, which is a robust, rigorous process that demonstrates that a coach has achieved a high level of performance, ethical practice, and that they know how to effectively deliver coaching.
Yeah, I found over the years, Carrie, that, as you said, organizations are becoming more and more aware of the ICF and its credential. But individuals, oftentimes one-on-one, life coaches, for instance, that aren't really in organizations as much as leadership executive coaches, a lot of people don't know what that is, who the ICF is and what the credential is. What is it that your experience is, or the ICF experience is, regarding what I've just, what I've seen?
Sure, and I think that's changing as well, too. I think increasingly clients and consumers of coaching are becoming much more in tune to what coaching is in general, but also what a coach should be and what a coach should have in terms of their certification or credential. And, again, I think the ICF go-to credential because it does reflect that high standard of both professional and ethical practice. But you're right that individual clients who are working with a coach, whether it's a life coach or a leadership coach or any kind of discipline within coaching, that community of consumers of coaching are also becoming more and more aware. And part of that, truthfully, is because we have such a growing body of credentialed coaches, and that growing body of credentialed coaches, those 28,000 credentialed coaches, are so proud of that ICF credential that it is front and center on their business card, on their website, on their LinkedIn profile. And so when an individual who is reaching out to find, I need a coach, I need a life coach to help me right now in the stage of life that I'm in the situation that I'm in, and they're reaching out to coaches, they're noticing that credential. They're asking the right questions about, what does this credential mean? How did you earn it? And they recognize that high standard that it symbolizes. So we're seeing a growth in an understanding and awareness of coaching, but also the importance of working with a credentialed coach among individuals who are consumers of coaching as well.
That's good to know. Thanks.
Well, I am so appreciative of being a part and a member of such a huge global and constantly growing organization. And I'm fascinated and so curious to know, how do you accommodate cultural differences around the world? Because Bernie and I have both been chapter presidents, and we just had the opportunity to meet so many fascinating people from so many countries. How on earth do you accommodate that, and how do you take that into consideration?
Sure, and I'm assuming particularly in the credentialing process. Well, I am so appreciative of being part of an organization that has such a global reach. As you mentioned in your very kind and generous introductory remarks, you know, I was a student of international affairs, and so it's that that opportunity to learn from individuals and work with individuals from across the globe and across so many different cultures that makes my daily experience such a rich one. So I really appreciate it and love this situation or the chance to get to work in a context like that. But you're right, it's also very challenging when we're working with credentialing. How do we take those cultural differences into consideration? One of the ways that we do that specifically, you know, like most certification bodies, the ICF uses what we call a job analysis process to identify the knowledge and the skills that are really important and integral to coaching practice. And this serves as the foundation for our core competency model, but also for our credentialing process. And the way that we do a job analysis, it's a global effort. So we talk to subject matter experts, and those are coaches, right? Those are individual coach experts from across the globe. And we do that in a series of workshops where we ask them about their coaching experience, what's important in their coaching practice, what are things that they do not do in their coaching practice. And we ask a lot of great questions. We collect a lot of data. And then we develop and disseminate a large-scale survey that goes to coaches across the globe. So we're actually just on the tail end of a coaching practice analysis or a coaching job analysis right now. And we did this, we did a series of workshops with subject matter experts over the last year and a half. And then we developed a survey that we distributed actually back in September of last year. And it went to over 41,000 coaches who were affiliated in some form or fashion with the ICF, either through membership or credentialing, and then we sent it out to even more coach practitioners who are not affiliated with the ICF, either as a member or a credential holder. So those are other coaches out there who are practicing but not necessarily an ICF coach. And we asked a series of questions around what is important in your coaching, and then what are some skills and knowledge, what are some abilities, what are some things that you do very frequently, even if they're not, you wouldn't rate them as highly important, but what are some things that you do very frequently in your coaching practice? And we take all of that data. You can only imagine how rich a data set that is, and that really helps us understand coaching practice, and it helps inform the core competencies. And what it allows us to do is to drill down what are the common components, what are the common elements of coaching that are similar across cultures, right? Across all these different coaching styles, these coaching disciplines, across geographical zones, across any other kind of you know, population within the coaching profession, but what is common among all who practice coaching? And that's how we get to the core competencies, and that's how we get to the foundation of our credentialing process. It's those common elements that unite us as coaches and allow us to have these meaningful conversations, even when our cultures may, you know, be somewhat different, but what unites us are these common elements in our practice. That's really exciting, and it's fun work, and it allows for some rich discussion around culture as well.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I didn't know any of that. So that data that you were getting, so that's great. As you're speaking, one of the questions that came to mind or thoughts that came to mind, I'm thinking of the founders of ICF who really came up with the core competencies that we keep talking about. And I've always found them brilliant. And I know in the past year, ICF was looking at the core competencies to see whether or not, I guess, they needed to be updated. And I thought, well, good luck with that, because they seem so, you know, fantastic right now. I don't know what could be be done. Well, what is happening? I haven't heard anything. What is happening right now, if anything, with relooking at the core competencies?
Yeah, well, thanks, Bernie. That's a perfect segue into the core competency work that we're doing, because as I mentioned, we're just coming off, we're just finishing up this massive research initiative that we call a job analysis or coaching practice analysis. So we've been involved with this for the past like 18 months, and we've been really fortunate to get to work with partners at the Human Resources Research Organization, or HUMRO. And this organization really, they are experts in the field of job analyses. And so we've been working with them, and it's the ICF credentialing team in partnership with the ICF Research Academic Coaching Science team. We've been working together again with HUMRO to undertake this effort. As I mentioned, it's been a series of workshops with subject matter experts, and again, they are from all across the globe, all coaching disciplines, at various credentialing levels, as well as those who are not credentialed or not affiliated with the ICF, because we wanted to hear the voices from coach practitioners who aren't necessarily an ICF coach as well to do this work. So it's this diverse group of coaches that have inputted into the process that have made the methodology, I think, so rigorous and rich, and it's really helping us shape our understanding of current best practice in coaching, again, across international borders, coaching styles, and coaching contexts. This is the first job analysis that we've done in about 10 years. So we did one about in 2008, and that practice analysis or job analysis really validated the original ICF core competency model and the vision that our founding fathers and mothers in the field had, those 8 or 10 people who were around the table and really hashed out what it was to be, what it meant to be a coach, and developed that original core competency model. And what's fascinating for us in this current job analysis is that the same really has been true. So much of the core competency model is just as relevant and up-to-date as it ever has been, and it is completely a part of coach practitioners' framework and what they do as coaches on a day-to-day basis. And again, this is really a testament to those original founding fathers and mothers of the coaching profession and really the vision that they had for what coaching was, its value that it provided to society, and what it could be in the future. So that's really primary and exciting for us. We have also identified a few new emerging themes, because we are a fast-growing and we are an evolving profession. So we have identified a few emerging themes, and I think some of that is really a testament, too, to the diversity of the growing coach population across the world, right? We are a growing profession. And so because of that, we were able to bring in more voices than ever before to the job analysis. So many more voices were a part of this job analysis process than were able to be a part of the one that we did in 2008, simply because our profession itself has grown and has extended to so many new areas and new markets, which is just tremendous. But some of the additional themes that we've identified through this latest job analysis, first and foremost, is the importance of ethical practice, ethical behavior, and confidentiality. Those were rated the highest, most important things that a coach practitioner considers and keeps in mind when they're doing their coaching. And that's really, to us, that was just an awesome thing to see in the data set. It really speaks to the commitment that coaches have to being not just really good at what they do, but also being really ethical in their being with their clients, which is amazing. We also heard and saw some interesting themes around coaching agreements. You know, originally developed, the coaching agreement was just kind of a broader universal kind of agreement, more for the engagement. But what we're seeing in the data from this most current job analysis is really the importance of setting agreement not just at the overall engagement level, but at the individual session level, and throughout a coaching, right? That it's something that a coach and a client is always partnering to develop and maintain. So that was really kind of interesting as well. We've also seen a real emphasis in the data on the importance of partnership. And this is, I think, something that has always been kind of a subtext of coaching, but it really even was elevated more so in this current job analysis, the notion that a coach and client are equal partners in the process, and that that client has an important voice in the process at all times. A couple other themes that we've, or one final theme that we've seen in the data is and the importance of professional development and reflective practice, that that a coach should always be working to develop themselves as a coach, to be reflective, to improve their kind of self-regulation, and that really has a powerful impact on the coaching that they deliver. So, this was all really fascinating data to see. We're now in the process of really working with that data to think about how that might shape or influence the core competency model. If we have any revisions to that core competency model, it will be reviewed by our global board of directors for final approval, and then we'll be sharing it with the field. But it's been a fascinating research initiative, and I've really been really enjoyed being part of it. So it's been a great learning experience for all involved.
Wow, that's exciting, and we certainly look forward to rolling it out when that happens. So thank you for that. Wow.
Well, like Bernie, I think that when we filled out our surveys, I don't think we realized just how huge this was. What an amazing mass of information there. And I love that ICF is never rest. You know, they're always, what can we do? How can we make this better? What are some of the challenges you feel that might be facing credentialing in the future?
Yeah, great question. Well, you know, I think one of the things that is always a challenge for an organization like the ICF, and when I say it's a challenge, it's really a tremendous opportunity, but one that we take very seriously and we want to do it well, is serving this global population. And that's a challenge across our organization, but it has a different kind of meaning when we're talking about credentialing. So serving a global population and being able to provide an accessible credentialing process to a global population is a tremendous opportunity, and we take that very seriously. But it's also challenging work, right? So so that's something that I would say is a challenge for us, and one that we're always really seriously thinking about how we can continue to do better. Some of the other challenges, I think, are just, again, tremendous opportunities in a field that is evolving and growing and shaping itself through the innovators who are out there practicing coaching every day in the field. And that is kind of this, all of these new disciplines and areas of coaching, the specializations of coaching that are emerging and have some pretty cool and unique skill sets that are unique to that particular element of coaching, right? So whether it's team coaching, or it's a specialization in, you know, government coaching, or whatever the case may be, we're seeing all these new kind of communities of coach practitioners evolve, and they're really shaping how the profession looks within that particular community, which is exciting work and something that we're taking note of. And, you know, one of the on that part, one of the things that we are just recently have kicked off is a big initiative to do some research and do a job analysis and hopefully develop a set of competencies for team coaches. That's a growing element within our community and something that we find that's fascinating and interesting and important, and we want to support it. But there's not really a unified definition of what team coaching really is, so we're hoping to tackle that in the coming months here at the ICF, and we're excited about doing that.
We're going to have you back so you can tell us all about that. I'm always fascinated with team coaching. Carrie Abner,
yeah.
This has been so interesting and fascinating, and we have a million more questions, so you're going to have to come back. Bernie, thank you so much for being a great co-host, and Carrie, open invitation. Come on back anytime. This is
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are signing off. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you.